Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for giving us this day. Lord, we are grateful to you this morning for your goodness, your love, your care for every one of us. Just ask your blessing on us here this morning in this service. Just pray that you would guide my lips and give me your thoughts to share. Just ask that you would bless each one in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, you can be seated. Well, I'd like to make a few qualifying statements, I suppose. I tried to get Aidan and Alan to tell me what I should say here, what all I shouldn't say, and they refrained from doing that. So, whatever I say here, I want it to certainly be their heartbeat and their desire as well. And so I certainly want to give them the liberty to speak up and make any adjustments that are necessary. So So anyway, the topic this morning is on the office or the role of the deacon. And I think there's going to be quite a bit of overlap from last night and what we heard there, realizing that there's not all that many scriptures on the subject. And so I'll probably share quite a bit about our experience and what we do, and hopefully that'll be a blessing. For starters, maybe we could read some verses in 1 Timothy chapter 3. In 1 Timothy 3, in verse 8, it says, "Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon, use the office of a deacon well, purchase to themselves a good degree of and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus." And also, I think we'll read Acts chapter 6, the first 7 verses of that as well. Acts chapter 6. Now, as was mentioned last night, this passage doesn't say that these were deacons, but I think all of us consider, and it has been considered, that these were what we would now call deacons. Acts chapter 6 and verse 1, "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenes and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. So those are some scriptures that we have on deacons and kind of giving us maybe a little bit of an idea here in Acts. We see that they were there to serve tables. And it seems like the word deacon means one that serves. And I think in many churches, the deacon also is considered one that is an assistant to the pastor or the elder, someone that comes along and is an assistant or a helper. And so I'd just like to look at some maybe roles of deacons here. And again, it's a lot out of maybe our experience and things that we've found to be a blessing. So number one, they are to serve. As we saw in Acts 6, they served tables. There were needs and they were able to meet those needs and it was a blessing. And as Brother Leonard mentioned last night, it seems that something about how they handled things there brought a great company of priests into the faith. Somehow, I don't know what all happened there, but it says they believed. And so in a congregation, there's many needs that arise in a church that deacons can take care of. Just not so long ago, and this wasn't necessarily in the church, but it's something that that the deacons were very involved with and helped with. There was a fire in a community, in an area close to where we're at. They had a young man that had some mental disabilities, and he ended up lighting the upstairs, his room where he was living, where he was staying, and burned the top of the house off. He burned up with it, and the parents, he was an adopted child, the parents and the other adopted daughter made it out. But anyway, it destroyed the upstairs of their house. And they didn't have anyone. They didn't have insurance. They didn't have anyone to help them. They didn't know how to go forward, really. They didn't have any extra money. And so someone alerted us to it, someone that early on, it was probably 5-10 years ago, there was a house fire in our community, also from someone that didn't attend any of the conservative churches around there. And the community came together, various churches came together and helped clean up and helped with the project of taking care of that. And so these people, although they had moved, knew about this other situation, and they had been helped, and so they called us and asked, could you go and see if you can help these people? And so we went there and visited them and asked questions and realized that there's some very real needs here. They were an older couple. I think their biological family was grown and left, and so they had adopted some children, and there was some difficulties there. But anyway, when the work day finally came, the first Saturday that we were planning to do it, I think it rained or something happened where it didn't work out. Well, when the work day finally came, I was going to preach the next day. And so I needed to be studying. I needed to be in the Word of God. And I felt very bad because I had kind of been involved in the early planning stages of this. And then, you know, when the real work happens and people start getting down in the ashes and the soot and the grit and the dirt, I'm not there. And I felt bad about it, but I'm so thankful for the deacons because they were there. They made sure everything went smoothly and there was just a very good report. They were able to take the second story of the house off. They put a tarp on it and were able to get it ready for winter. The couple there didn't know for sure what they were going to do, but they wanted to winterize the part of the house that wasn't damaged too bad and wait until spring. So maybe there will be some more work days in helping them put a roof on that. I'm not sure. But it's just one of those places where it would have been very stressful for me if I would have had to, in thinking of my sermon preparation and everything, to have to be there and try to oversee that project as well. And so it was just such a tremendous blessing to know that there are faithful men that are taking care of this. And I'm sure there are other brothers that could have done that as well. But we know who to look to. We know who to ask. We know who's been appointed to that work. Now, one of the things we do is we ask the deacons to inquire how families are doing when things seem to be a bit shaky financially. Sometimes we have those situations, and it's very fitting when a deacon, they're ordained. Everyone knows that. They take care of those kinds of matters, and so it doesn't seem strange when a deacon or two deacons show up and they start asking, how are things going? What's happening? Where are you making it? Are things going well? And they have that responsibility and duty and do very well at just going and finding out what are the needs? How can we help as a congregation, as a church? They also have, in our congregation, they have an alms fund that they can draw from. So sometimes we do, you know, I'm sure it's different in different churches, but in our congregation, every month at our brothers' meeting, we have a financial statement report. And so we find out what's going on as a congregation. There's accountability for where money comes in, what money goes out, where it goes to. But there's this separate little fund, or alms fund, where they are allowed to draw from in certain amounts to give anonymously to people so that it doesn't show up on our financial report that so and so much was given to this family just because we felt like there were some needs there. That can feel kind of very uneasy in a brother's meeting when everyone's name is put out there. So we have an alms fund where they can just go and they have the liberty and the freedom to assess a situation and then give out of that. You know, one of the things that with the financial difficulty, especially it seems like our Anabaptist type of congregations, most people are thriving and doing very well. And it can almost become an embarrassment or feel less than what we should be if we end up being one of those that struggle financially. If we're in a congregation where most everyone seems to be prospering and doing well, and here we are, we're just barely making it. Just things are not going well, and so it's a blessing when the deacons can help out in a more private way, I guess. In that, we've found that to be a blessing. Also, we've Our deacons have done very well in helping out, giving guidance in maybe somewhere where it's maybe obvious that there's a need, there's some financial just not good at managing what they're doing, and there's some needs there. When they go and help out, they're also able to speak into their life then and talk about how to use money, how to budget. They've helped some set up budgeting plans and just help them along the way. Deacons, it's a tremendous blessing in helping in a very practical way with the financial difficulties. So they can help them out by maybe alleviating the immediate need, but then also giving some input and direction on how to start charting a course that helps them not to get into that kind of credit card debt, whatever it might be that they find themselves in. And so, I don't think that at all that some, like Brother Leonard was mentioning, he didn't know what is a deacon? What's a deacon good for? Is it some second-rate job in the congregation? Not at all. It is a very honorable place in the congregation, a tremendous blessing. It's a way of bringing some hope and cheer, the serving of tables and ministering in that way. It's a way of bringing hope and cheer into someone's dark and discouraging moments in financial trouble. You know, deacons can come and they can help and they can start. Sometimes when we're in the middle of difficulty like that, it's very hard to see our way out of it. It just looks like this vortex that just keeps sucking us further and further and further down. And then to have someone come and look at it and just look at the financial statements maybe and different things and help and give direction on how to get out of the difficulty. It's a tremendous blessing. They're also a very good avenue for our way of giving in the church without letting those receiving know who gave, you know, if it goes through the deacons. There's a pitfall, I would say, in giving where the person receiving knows who gave. There's a certain inhibition, I suppose, that happens because all of a sudden, if I would happen to have a concern about that brother, notice a need in his life, it would be very hard for me to speak to him because I know that I got quite a bit of money from him. He helped me out financially, and now I'm going to go pick on this thing. And so it almost closes the mouth of brotherhood input when the people know who has been giving to them. And so the deacons can be a tremendous way of channeling that and helping. You know, if someone wants to give, they can give through a deacon, and the person receiving it never knows where it came from. It's just a tremendous blessing. And rather than thanking a person, they thank God for it. Okay, number two, deacons keep the church finances. And again, I realize that it can be different in different congregations, but that's how we have it. In our congregations, the deacons collect the offerings that come in. They keep count of that. They keep all the records. They keep the ledgers and the accounting, the transactions in the church bank accounts. A big financial liability in a congregation, at least we've found it that way, and I suppose it's that way everywhere, is hospital bills. Those things will gobble up unbelievable amounts of money. But our deacons take care of that from the very beginning of finding out that there was someone had to go to a hospital. They're there immediately. Sometimes they go along in. They let the congregation know. Sometimes there's large amounts of money needed, and there's not the funds to cover it, and so we have special offerings, and they take care of organizing all that, and usually they'll send a hotline the evening before and just remind everybody, tomorrow we're planning to have an offering for such and such hospital bill or for such and such need or whatever it is, and people can come prepared to give. It just makes things flow so smoothly in a congregation. Right now, our deacons are working with a group of hospitals in getting the same rate. Sometimes, like I said, hospitals can be outrageous, and insurance companies don't pay that kind of price either, and so they're finding some of these things out, and there's a group of hospitals that they're working with right now that because of how we're set up as a congregation, they are planning to give us insurance rates. What the insurance company would pay them is what the church will pay them now, and it's kind of mind-boggling, but if I didn't get the figure wrong, it's 18% of what the face value of the bill is. And so we end up paying not 18% off of the face value of the bill, but 18% of the actual bill is all that insurance companies are paying, and that's what I understand our church will be paying if we use those hospitals. And so just, you know, one of those things that many of us would have never thought about. But there they are, working and asking questions. Someone was in the hospital, and they were in one of the deacons was in there, and he went to the financial counselor of the hospital and started asking questions. You know, we're a congregation. We do it this way, and what kind of rates do you have? The University of Kentucky is already giving us a 60% discount, which is very good compared to paying full price. But now there's these other hospitals that are willing to only charge 18% of the bill. Just so there's all kinds of opportunities like that for deacons to just be a tremendous blessing in the congregation. And sometimes there's these hospital bills where someone ends up in a hospital. We didn't have any input as far as to where they went, and so they will go there. Sometimes spend hours talking with the hospital and some of the financial department, trying to figure out how can we come to a more reasonable number than what they have on the bill. And so they put a lot of time and effort in that. It's just very much of a blessing. Like I mentioned, every month they give the financial report at a brothers' meeting. So they're keeping track of everything, what comes in, what goes out, and they keep the church updated on that so that there's not this uncertainty of, well, where's the money going? If I give to this church, what's going to happen with the money? There's accountability there, and they're very diligent in keeping records of that and keeping the brotherhood informed on what's happening. Okay, number three, they organize church functions. So when there's a work day for someone, sometimes it's someone in the congregation, sometimes it's someone that's not in the congregation. They oversee that, make sure everything goes smoothly. And many times there's days ahead of time or many hours that are put in getting ready, making sure that everything's there that's needed for the work day. And in saying all this, I'm not trying to load up someone with a. You might be thinking, I don't know if I ever want to be a deacon if this is the kind of load I get. This is just some ideas of what our deacons are doing and the blessing that it has been for us. Things like wood cuttings, we do quite a bit of that. Many of the homes there in Kentucky are still heated with wood, and so there's wood cuttings, and there's a big work day where church families get together and cut firewood. And it takes someone to make sure that everything flows smoothly, that things go as they're supposed to. There's people that need wood, and there's all these people that are cutting wood, and who's going, where do the loads go, who gets it first, are the widows in the area taken care of? There's all these things need to be organized, and they do that. Now, it is true that sometimes they also appoint someone else to take care of some of the details. Obviously, they can't do everything, and so there are many other unofficial deacons in our congregation as well that are a tremendous blessing, and so they know who those are that are willing to be an assistant and help out in that. Okay, number four, business ventures or concerns about debt in the congregation. I mentioned that a little bit, but that's one of those things that they look into. And I think it's healthy. I think it's good and right when someone is planning to spend a lot of money on some business venture or something, that the deacons know what's happening so that they know what's going on. There are times that I think it has been a little unsettling for the deacons to suddenly start asking questions about loans and the amount of money that is owed and how the business is doing. But I think it's very fitting for in a congregation, because the thing is, if someone were to file bankruptcy, it would reflect on the whole congregation. The whole congregation would need to help pay that debt that those people owe. It seems like we're all brethren, and so if someone owes a million or two, that can, and they go under, you know, that can be a great blot on the congregation. And so most of the time, I think I can say that, often anyway, before someone goes into a larger business venture, they ask for input from the deacons, from the congregation, just saying what they're planning to do, and get some input. Is it a good idea? Should I do this? Do you think it's okay? And I would tend to think the larger the debt is going to be, probably the more important that is. And it also helps bring a realization of accountability. I know the one brother that they went and started asking questions about, he had a few failed business ventures that didn't turn out very good, and it looked like he was, just kind of continuing on full steam ahead when there was some uncertainty. How's this all coming out? And so they went and started asking questions, and he came and asked me. He said, "What's happening here? You know, I just thought if I sink this ship, it's me. You know, it's my problem." And so I told him, "Well, not really. You know, you're part of a church, and if you go under financially, we as a body are responsible. We're a part of you, we're a part of you, and we can't let a bankruptcy or something like that happen and not be involved and not have some kind of, you know, it's going to affect all of us. And my, that put him to thinking, and he started realizing, I'm not just my own man. There's not just me to consider in this whole thing, but there's others, and I think it was very good. I think it brought some checks and balances in his mind where he started stepping a little bit more carefully, and I thank God that things are going well. Things are going very well. Very glad for that, but it's just. It's one of those things where I think it was very appropriate for the deacons at that time to step in and start asking questions. How are things going? And they ask very probing questions. How much debt do you have? Who is the debt to? And all those kinds of questions, those start feeling, ooh, this is very personal. You know, they're getting into my personal life here. Well, should we not, as the Church of God, get into each other's personal lives? I think so. Okay, number five, they are a part of the ministerial team. I think that was maybe read yesterday evening, but we'll look at it again in Philippians chapter 1. In verse 1, it says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons, grace be to you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So they were looks like Paul considered them as part of the ministerial team, and we do as well. The deacons meet with us every week when we have our ministers' meeting. We have when we meet and discuss things, they're there, and they help us make decisions on various church matters, and we welcome their input. They're very involved in what's happening in the church work. Now, we don't really maybe give them the same weight of responsibility on directional issues as the elders. So sometimes things come up where deacons may differ on some matter, whatever it might be. And if the elders are together on something, while we consider what they're saying, they don't carry the same weight of responsibility in that, because the elders have been given the responsibility of shepherding, of guiding, and giving direction in the congregation. And so while they're very involved and their input is appreciated, and we ask for their input. At the same time, we don't consider them an elder in the congregation in the same sense, or a bishop, whatever word you want to use there. Now, they do some preaching as well in our congregation. I know that varies from church to church. I'm just telling you some of what we do. At one time, longer ago, I think we may have had some of them pretty much on a rotational basis, with the elders preaching pretty much as often. But we've backed away from that. Our deacons don't preach near as much as the elders do. It's just. I don't know that it matters one way or another. It's just something that we have maybe backed off from a little bit more. Okay, number six, my last point here. Deacons should be examples in the congregation. I think all those in ministry, everyone should I believe, in a congregation feel themselves responsible for being a good example in the congregation. Everyone should. But when it comes to the ministry, those that are leading out, those that are ordained, whether elders or deacons, whatever their role might be, they should be the kind of men or family that are examples in the congregation, that the congregation can follow. They should definitely be examples in financial integrity, because you know they are the ones that are primarily responsible for the finances of the money matters in the congregation. And so if they're kind of doing shady deals in their business or wherever in life, and there's uncertainty about how they handle finances, I think it could bring a lot of uncertainty and unrest in the congregation. So, but anyway, I think it's very important that deacons are good examples in the congregation, someone that those in the congregation can look to and follow, and realize that these are people that are setting direction, if you will, in the congregation. They're going. It is safe to follow them as they follow Christ. So okay, I think that's about all I had on the office or the role of a deacon. And again, I hope it was clear enough to give some thought and inspiration and idea. And if there's any further discussion needed, I would encourage that. God bless you.